Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray. I am an adult survivor of child abuse, and our organization that sponsors five of these shows a week and three recovery shows a week as well. So we're very active in trying to get the word out, especially to those people who have not yet been really well informed about the various issues of prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, if you know anything at all about child abuse, you'll know that we all agree that the thing that we suffer most from is a thing called trauma. Trauma comes in many forms, and so our suffering comes in many forms, but we also believe as a group at NASCA that the trauma that we experience can be at least, if not overcome completely, can be worked on to such a degree that it makes a big difference in your life. And pretty much anybody who tries this, we believe, can be successful. Now, my show here today is what we call a question and answer show. So we're going to ask people who are here if they had brought a question or perhaps a topic they'd like to discuss. We ask them to bring it up, and we have someone that we plan to guide us in this, in that. There is a professional, if you want, a hyphenate, a person who's both a professional in some area and a survivor in that area, and they can answer questions according to the topic. The topic for tonight, by the way, has to do with trafficking, has to do with foster care, has to do with very poor living conditions, and all kinds of things like that. So we're gonna talk to DC Hamilton from Houston, Texas, who is our co-host on this show, and does the show once a month. All the co-hosts each do one show a month, and that makes it possible to have eight shows, all different, and then they repeat the next month. So, for example, someone does the third Tuesday, and next month they'll also do the third Tuesday, and so forth. All right, let me see. There are two people here. I'm not sure who they are, so let me just open these mics and get started. This is Bill. This is the 617 area. Who am I speaking to, guys?
Hi, this is Nancy Brown, Nancy B. How are you?
Nancy, oh, thank you very much for calling in. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm well.
To hear from you guys.
Thanksgiving. Sorry?
Happy Thanksgiving. I said it's great to hear from you guys.
Exactly. It's Thanksgiving. And my Thanksgiving was good. I have one more person. It probably is Nisi on, and then the three of us can have a little chat here. All right. This is the 409 area code caller. Is this Nisi Hamilton?
This is Roberta in Oklahoma.
Oh, my goodness. We don't have Nisi here yet. All right. That's all right. Roberta, delightful to hear from you. I haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Roberta has been following us for quite a while now, and she is, as you said, from Oklahoma. And we're delighted that, you know, she was one of those people who didn't know anything at all about, almost nothing about real recovery, when she met us. And she has learned so much, so many things, that it's really a pleasure to watch somebody grow. And I had just said, maybe you heard me say it, Roberta, I was a little clumsy in saying it, that we believe at NASCA that everybody can succeed if they follow, you know, if they follow a healing journey of some sort. We don't recommend any single style of recovery. There are many styles, and we discuss them all at NASCA, and we don't tell you which one you have to follow, but we do recommend things that we are familiar with often, and you know, and tell you what our result was, and then it'll be up to the person whether they want to follow that or not. But we are very gentle, I guess I'd say, in our presentations of what has to be. Well, we're careful about it, what has to be done, and I'll tell you why. When somebody used to tell me I had to do this and I had to do that, that was the one way to ensure that I wasn't going to do it. So I made it a suggestion. When I say there's a lot of different healing journeys, I'm talking about things like psychiatry, psychology, counseling, life coaches, religious programs of different kinds, spirituality, EMDR, which is a tool, hypnosis, all kinds of things like that, animal therapy, art therapy, blah, 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 many things. And whatever combination they are good for you, if they attract you, we recommend you try them out. So I am still watching for Nisi. Even if she doesn't come, I propose we simply do our own show. That's okay. I'm going to read the description of where Nisi came from in her abuse life, and maybe we can take something from it. This description is written in the, to go along with the show, where it says we're a call-in discussion forum where we feature a survivor professional, and the topics that we expect the co-host Nisi Hamilton from Houston, Texas to handle was the fact that she was born to a very young mother who had been herself trafficked by extended family members from 11 to 13. And when Nisi was born and she left the hospital, she left the hospital immediately, and she still has no idea where she was born to this day. In foster care, she was abused starting at 14 years old, and she considered aged out at foster care not too long after. That means that they weren't going to take any responsibility for her. She says, I lived in an empty apartment owned by a housing authorities until I was officially kicked off of the property. At 15, I was homeless, no family, no food, no shelter, and no one to call mom. But, she says, today I'm a proud activist, a motivational speaker, a coach, and a lifestyle influencer. Nisi goes on, I teach young girls and women how to not come into agreement with the spirit of poverty. Human trafficking is a type of poverty that requires a demonic contract. All right, that was the description that I had written for her some time ago. And if we choose to, we can take something out of what I just read, out of the description of her life, and use it as a theme. Or, Nancy and Roberta, we can choose anything that you want to talk about, any question you have about child abuse, anything about NASCA itself, and so forth. So I'm going to just leave it open here, leave the mic open, and see who would like to speak about what. Either of you have something on your mind?
I do. This is Roberta in Oklahoma. Well, I've been going through this I think, you know, that it wasn't until 2019 that I decided I didn't want to live in fear and I wanted to have the courage to heal. And
yep.
And I keep I don't know, for the last, like, 2 years, it's like there's only been, like, two times where I was having nightmares of voices and flashbacks, and there's only been two times I've had anxiety attacks, real bad anxiety attacks. But it's like I'm like, sometimes I want to know things, and then sometimes I don't, and sometimes I think that my, that when I do need to know it, it will happen. When I, and maybe I'll never know, and that bothers me sometimes, because there for a while at first I was digging. I wanted to know, I guess is that. And, you know, is that normal for sometimes the brain or something just not to remember, or just because a lot of times people, I've been getting these messages that, oh, just forget the past, you know, and let it go. But, I mean, whenever you're filled with hurt and anger and you've been through oppression for years, and you got it buried. Sometimes you do need to get it out, you know, I think. But, that's all I wanted to talk about, is when something's so traumatic, to either accept it or just put it on hold for a while or think that you can get to it later, you know.
All right. Well, Nancy, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yes, I can definitely understand where you're coming from. A lot of times people tell you to forget the past and move forward. But part of healing is unpacking and digging up the old hurt. In order to heal, you have to reveal. I agree with you. I think it's really important to unpack. And when you do go through trauma, it's normal to have a lot of blocking in the memory, where certain things are blocked out and then they come in between, you know, you remember them. But that's why it's always good to have, you know, a trusted source, a counselor, somebody that you can share, you can vent, or just to write. You know, writing is very therapeutic, and they were saying earlier, there's the pet therapy, there's the art therapy. Writing is also a form of therapy, and it's very healing, and it helps you to get out things that you might have blocked out. You'll start writing, and all of a sudden you may start remembering things, or you'll start, whenever you do remember something, write it down and get it out. So for me, I wrote a book, and at that time when I wrote the book, that was very therapeutic for me. I was literally writing and crying. I was, like, crying while I was writing, and I never had to rewrite those things again. I have never even read my own book, and I wrote the book 2017. I've never sat down and read my book. But it was very therapeutic for me to go into rooms that I've closed out and open those doors and really, really look at what happened, right, and dig it up. So it's just part of healing, and I think that's awesome that you're open to doing that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But another problem I came across is that just recently, when I moved back up here, for a lot of years I've been gone, and this is where the problems originated during my early childhood, and I'm really scared to stay here to go through all my healing process, to really dig it all up, you know. And I don't know if that's normal, but I do have a fear of that. I still fear the people, you know, even though, there are some unidentified people, and there's some that, you know, because some of it's family and some of it's not, and, you know, I still have fear, you know. And I don't think that it would be wise to be around, because a lot of them are still up here. And it would be wise to go through my healing process with all of them still around, you know, because I think that I need to, because, you know, setting healthy boundaries is not, it's impossible, you know, whenever there's so many ties and connections that you just can't, the strongholds or whatever, you know, you can't break. you know. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I
understand that. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No.
I wanted to just ask you how often that happens, that you run into people from your past, before we move forward.
Oh, well, I have to be honest with you. I think I'm still in contact with some of them that I don't want to be. Sometimes I feel like I'm obligated to be. But I think that it's bringing me, it's interfering with my healing process, thinking that way and being that way. But no, there is some kind of connection that I'm sensing that is not supposed to be, and I don't know where it's coming from, the source. I can't identify with it, but it's just leftovers from my past. Someone in my past is too close for comfort. You know what I mean? And I was shocked and I was harassed at one time and threatened and, you know, and so I'm just, you know, it's just going to take some time to get completely away from all these people, places, and things that did all these attacks and assaults on me and stalking and harassing and you know, they're kind of mind games, you know.
All right. Well, the reason I ask that is because as Roberta knows, and I don't know that Nancy does, but I know Roberta pretty well, and I've been working with her for a long time, and so have other people, and I know she's made a tremendous amount of progress. What I want to point out is I don't think you're even running into these people, frankly, but there's a fear of running into these people present with you. The fear is different than that you're running into them, and, you know, we have to try and work to be away from fear. And frankly, I understand that you're scared that, you know, because you're in the same town or a couple of general area, that it could happen, but it hasn't. And so it's a fear that has never materialized yet, all right? And I think you've done pretty well in Oklahoma myself. So I know you've brought this up before. This is why I'm interested, Nancy, in going into it a little bit to find out really what's behind it. Because, as I say, Roberta has made a lot of progress, and I don't want her to lose that.
Right. Okay. What I was going to say to you, Ms. Roberta, excuse me, was try to focus on the now. Try to focus on the progress. Try to focus on the healing. Try to focus on all the good things, because wherever energy goes, that's where what's going to grow. What you put energy to. So, like, you know, I understand where the fear comes from of coming in contact with some of these people. Mine were in the family. I had to deal with those people. It was very difficult, period. But for me, I forgave those people. Like, I truly went into a deep place of forgiveness, and I forgave those people, and I let them go, right? And then I still saw them sometimes, like probably very, very, probably like once or twice a year, maybe at that, right? But when I saw them, I was respectful, like if nothing had ever happened, because I took away their power, right? And I had already forgiven them, and I went to the places where those people were. They didn't surprise me. But for you, you haven't put yourself in those predicaments to be around those people. So it's kind of like, you know, you're doing great. You're not bumping into them. And they cannot steal your joy. They don't deserve that.
Yeah.
They cannot steal your joy. Like, you know, the progress you're making, you've made so much progress. They don't have any control. They don't have any power to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to just continue to focus on the now and give energy to the now, the beauty of your healing. Like, you're in a beautiful place of healing. It's a very, you're in a place of wisdom, understanding, strength, and healing. And that's it.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I believe that too. And frankly, when you talk about the fear of running into people, you did mention, for example, the tool of setting boundaries. Well, boundaries are set to keep you away from them. It's not to keep them away from you. You don't want to go to them, you know, and say, I don't want you around me. but you want to say this to yourself, and you want to commit to yourself that you're going to do whatever you can to stay separate from the troublemakers, because you know that it's like you're toxic. They're toxic to you. They're a you go near them and you get like a rash. You know, they really are toxic to us. So the thing about keeping boundaries is from our side. So we say there are certain people that we will never have contact with again, and there are certain people that we'll say we'll have limited contact with, and there are some that we'll just forget about, and because they are so damaging to us. Does that make sense for us?
Yeah, takes us backwards.
Yeah,
and we're trying to continue moving forward and growing, right?
Yeah. Well, one thing I have to honestly say is that one thing I've learned, because I believe in the power of prayer too, and I do know that I am being watched over and I'm being protected and I am being delivered from this whatever it was, and I'm glad, And I have to honestly say that I feel better than I have in all my life, coming in contact with NASCA, where I didn't feel like that I had to keep that door shut and I had to, be oppressed. And NASCA really helped me realize that I can talk and it's okay to talk. And I don't have to fear talking.
Right. Wow, that's awesome.
You sure can. You sure can. And it makes a big difference when you start to understand that you can talk and start taking advantage of it, which you've been doing for a while. But I'm saying this for the newcomer who perhaps like you a year ago or something or more, it doesn't trust the process. And it's perfectly natural. A lot of us didn't, at first. I'm not telling my deep, dark secrets to a bunch of strangers. Well, we're not a bunch of strangers, really. In the end, we share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. And it's really a beautiful thing what happens. We have other people tell their story first often. And after a few of them have told their story in such an honest way, in such a giving way, that's what encourages us to trust the process, and we can tell our own story. And every time we do, it lessens it a little more. Plus, we tell our story. That means that we're telling new people who we are and our issues.
Right.
And it's an opportunity for us to share with them, and we're asking them for a little help, at least understand it. And sometimes people will reflect back and sometimes not. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's just a reminder, like you said. I mean, everything you said, you're spot on, but it just reminds you you're not alone. During these times where we're going through so much, and a lot of times when you're going through your healing, you go through an isolation period. You have to separate, right, and work on yourself.
Yep.
You're like, wait a minute. I'm having some issues in these areas. I need to work on myself. And so, again, the point to piggyback off what you were saying was that, it's just good to know that you're not alone. And stories and being honest, being transparent helps somebody else. So if it helps us and it helps them and everybody, it's a win-win, right?
Yeah, I agree. And, of course, there's a lot of other tools, and you've done some of them. We don't do just one thing and then we think we're done. have to take care of sort of all the aspects of our body, for one thing, and our spirituality, our mind and body both, and our, and our spiritual connection. So it's all three of those, because they're all three sick at first. And we can work on all of them simultaneously. We can work on one a little more than the other two. It's up to us, because any work that's in the right direction towards healing tends to move us towards healing. And the other things will show up when it's appropriate if they haven't started yet. You have a tremendous ability, though, to come on. You're always very kind to people. Your voice is very soothing, frankly. And you have a lot to offer. So I just want you to recognize that I know that. And I think you know that, or you're getting to know that. And it's no small thing, So. What do you think out there in the listening room? Go ahead.
No, what was the question? Sorry.
The question didn't get asked. I was about to ask a question.
Okay.
That of the people who are listening, do they understand what we were talking about? And if not, would they like to call in and get into the discussion? Because it's very easy to do that. I don't think I gave out the number, though, so let me do that next. The number is 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. And by the way, this is the same phone number that we use every show. And it's a dedicated phone number, in other words, to NASCA and our organization. But it is the one that we provide as a call-in number for anyone who wants to participate with us on our talk shows. So, 646-595-2118, and I will, be watching the panel to it's called a studio, watching the studio to see that we don't miss anybody. Right. Now, what were you going to say? I'm sorry. Hello?
I'm here. I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, I thought somebody was...
Is Ms. Roberta still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I wasn't going to say anything either.
All right. Well, we don't have to talk about this anymore. It can be something else, but, it's up to you guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, I just wanted to focus on my healing. And healing is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to do. You have to, you look at yourself, you get angry at yourself, you're by yourself. And then before you can get up, you have to really unpack. You really have to open up to yourself. It's like a very intimate process because you're like relearning who you are and getting to love yourself. Like you're dating yourself. You're communicating. You're committing. It's a very special thing when you enter that healing journey. And you have to protect it. It's like a newborn baby. You can't have everybody around that.
Right.
Some people will say things to offend you. It'll upset you. It'll bother your spirit. And especially when your spirit is like in a calm place, is open, so you can really hear. You're trying to be in tune. You cannot be around everybody when you're healing. You have to protect that.
Right. And, I also want to point out that when you're doing this work, you don't have a lot of knowledge, at first. You're doing a lot of it on trust because perhaps the person that's working with you recommends it. And you go, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to believe that person. And I'm going to step out on the limb a little bit in case the limb breaks. I don't want to be too far out. So you trust the process. And you know what happens? The limb doesn't break. And you say, maybe I'll go a little further out next time, And you do. You venture out next time. And son of a gun, you're still okay. So there's quite a lot to this, I guess I would say.
Yeah, it's like you have somebody to walk with. You're not walking by yourself. So this organization is wonderful. It's wonderful. What you guys are doing is great. What we are doing together as a community is great.
That's right.
So I'm proud, to walk with you.
It is a community. And we get a lot out of sharing our experience, strength, and hope.
Right.
Everybody has stuff to offer and everybody has energy to do something that would, contribute towards the betterment of NASCA and so forth. So there are lots of ways to get involved,
Okay, what are some of those things?
Well, you're doing some of them right now, ladies. You're on the radio. You're not being silent. You're talking about, the issues that are facing you and how you deal with them and other things that you're afraid of and so forth, all kinds of things. And that's wonderful. because you're actually giving your story to to listeners who are out there, and they don't have any background experience really. They are devoid of experience that relates to, certainly relates to healing. They're not devoid of experience that relates to abuse. We all suffer abuse, and there's lots of different abuses. And we all share some of them because that's our common denominator, childhood abuse that leaves us with trauma in adulthood. And so you will hear, you'll get a lot of help. And that also, is kind of a salve on our soul, kind of a healing. But there's, there's so much to it. So what was the question? How do we heal?
How can people get involved?
Volunteer? Yeah. Okay. There's a page on the website, and I probably should have said the website's name too, which is NASCA.org, NAASCA.org. And that stands for National Association Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, NAASCA. When you go there, it's a very complete website. And among other things, I would just spend at first some time on the front page, but clicking on things that take you away from the front page. And the reason I say that is because the website is built so that if you click on something, it opens in a new window on top of whatever, or beside whatever it is that you came from. So that means that as you close things later, you come back to the front page. So you can't get lost, is what I'm saying. And there are volunteer positions listed there. There are needs listed there. There's something called the highlights page listed there, which lists many of our projects. And we don't have any staff. Now, this is another thing you need to know if you're listening out there. We don't have a staff. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. We don't even have any fundraising. So being self-sufficient means that we are reliant, if you will, on the energy from each other, to improve NASCA,
right,
as time goes on, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
So,
what inspired the name?
Well, I was looking for something that expressed what I wanted, sort of the sense of what I wanted, that was also a name you could pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
And so NASCA is pronounceable. It's close to NASCAR, which a bunch of people are familiar with NASCAR. So we're already used to using something very similar when we do. So, but I it also depended on what I could get as a URL, because it had to be something that was available that nobody else had used. And I eventually thought NASCA might be a good name, and I went and searched for it and found out it was still available. So I got, NASCA.org, NASCA.com, NASCA. NASCA. Well, we use NASCA.org because to understand that. Yeah.
Yep. You want people to understand that. I'm sorry.
Well, that we're a nonprofit, We're not a big fancy business,
So why did you pick this particular area of abuse? Like, just abuse. Why are you even called to this?
Right, because I myself was an abused child and am a traumatized adult. So I have been in my own recovery for many, many years. And as a person in recovery, I did 12-step work on it, because there weren't all these different organizations that I discussed earlier, and psychiatrists and psychologists and life coaches. They didn't know, they didn't understand. In fact, most didn't recognize that little boys could be sexually abused. So there wasn't much of a support system back then.
Wow.
And I'm talking 40 years ago. So what I did find, I knew I had a drinking problem, and I knew that AA was considered a process of healing, and it was supposed to work for anything. In fact, back then there were about 20 or 30 or 40 different organizations that used the 12 steps and modified them for their own purpose. And now there are 200. And I did that myself with child abuse. But I used it for my own personal recovery. In other words, I used the 12 steps and traditions for my recovery from alcohol and simultaneously recognized that using them for my child abuse issues and the trauma issues was going to be beneficial too. So I did it. Nobody told me to do it. And sure enough, it worked. Now, I also had told my story to my parents, to my priests that I knew and so forth. But nobody could really help me do. They didn't recognize, it's not their fault, they didn't recognize, just like the psychiatrist didn't recognize, how damaging this trauma was to boys. They just thought boys were immune from it, I guess. And it took a long time, and including my promising myself that I would not go public with my story, public, until my parents were gone. Because when I told them, we were in the office of a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist was shocked. My father nearly had a heart attack, which is why I wanted to do it when there was a medical doctor handy.
Yeah.
And my mother was, in complete denial. So I saw that kind of reaction, and I vowed that, I would not go public and embarrass them or hurt them anymore by doing so. So I would wait until they were gone. Well, fortunately and unfortunately, it took a long time for them to pass. My father died just before the turn of the century. It was about 25 years into my recovery. And my mother died another, 10 years or so, 8 years into my recovery. But she actually preceded her death by having bad Alzheimer's. And she reached the point where I realized that she would never be able to understand what I was doing. So that's when I launched NASC. And in the meantime, I had tried and done many, many things. And I had my own really vast experience in how reactive I was to other people telling me what to do, for example. So we don't tell people what to do at NASC. Everything we do is suggestion. And we want people to take it seriously. But we don't force people to do anything. And all our organizations, there are no dues or fees. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. It means that we have no grants or fundraising going on.
So we have to pray for this year for grants.
Yeah, well, we're ready to do that now because
NASCA
is about 12 years old, I think. And we have been limited at what we can do simply because we don't have the funding. Now we need the funding because if we had the funding, we could make this a more serious organization.
And it's needed.
Pay people a little bit. Yeah, it's needed. Oh, absolutely, it's needed.
It's very needed. So, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
What age were you when this happened, and where did you get the courage to speak up? Where did it come from?
I was 11. I went to a summer camp. My parents sent me to a summer camp when I was 11. And I stayed for a month. And they sent me the next summer, and they sent me the next summer. So these three summers were the three summers before I went to high school. And the first summer was really my first time being away. And they sent me for a month. And I had a good time on many, many levels. Unfortunately, one of the camp counselors, who was a brother, a religious brother, started molesting me almost right away. and I felt trapped. I didn't know how to get out of there. I didn't even know what was going on. You know, I didn't know anything. So that's where it began.
Wow.
And he filled my head with all kinds of fantasies and so forth. And he was a photographer too, by the way, and that was part of his attraction, greeting, and what's it called, a grooming, because I was very interested in anything creative, and he, for the first time, was somebody that put, you know, really good, meaningful cameras in my hands and showed me how to take pictures and how to use different lenses and what they did and how to print pictures and so forth and how to model, because not only was I a model for him, a legitimate model, but he had me model naked and so forth as well. So I did that. And when I went home, I learned a little bit about what this was going on between the two of us, like on the playground. But it was not very good information. You know, I went back the next year. We had a similar relationship. And then the third year, my parents now knew him very well because he kept giving them legitimate pictures of their son, you know, in the swimming pool, on a horseback, in a canoe, whatever. And they were very good pictures. He was a fantastic photographer. But anyway, he invited me, and through my parents, to go with him at the end of this summer to visit Montreal and see Expo 67. That was kind of a world's fair. And my parents said, well, that's just, they did just what you did. Wow, what a great opportunity, you know.
Right.
I'd love to have it, too. And he said, well, I'm going up there myself, and there's no reason he can't go along. He said, I have about 2 weeks or something, or 3 weeks, between the end of camp in the beginning of the school year, which he was a teacher. And so he taught school year in Brooklyn, and he had to be back, you know, 3 weeks later. But in between, he was going to go see Expo 67. They agreed. I went up there. We did everything but see Expo 67. And he trafficked me around for the 2 or 3 weeks, trying to get me to be traded for other little boys with other men and so forth. And I didn't know where I was, how to escape. But it was the first time that he ever asked me to touch him, even to see him naked. And I was disgusted by it. So I kept my mouth shut because I couldn't escape. It wasn't a 911 system. And I just had to hold on until the trip was over. And he finally, on the last day, drove us up to Montreal, stuck me in front of a couple of the exhibits so he could take some pictures to prove we were there, took me back to the Port Authority bus station, put me on the bus, and that was that. I've never seen him again, but I've recently found out where he went and what he was doing. But I did carry this story inside of me for years. And I ended up going to a minor seminary, a prep school, so high school, which occurred right away, right after this summer, was a place for, there were less than 100 of us, but about 90 of us, who went to get a very good education. It was an excellent school because we were on a college campus, and they were all priests and brothers, and they were very, the Benedictines are an order that exists in order to teach. So all our teachers were Benedictine monks and so forth in the college, and we got them too. So that experience was wonderful on some levels and horrible on others, because it didn't take long before one of the priests asked me if I had had homosexual experiences, and I denied it. But eventually he asked a couple more times, and I finally went to him and told him the story. And he gave me a confession, absolution, it took a couple hours to tell his story. But at least I felt, you know, I told somebody that could be helpful, would be helpful. He was a priest, after all. Unfortunately, he himself was interested in me, and he told another priest, who told another brother. And so I spent the 4 years at this place trying to stay at least at arm's length, literally, away from certain people who kept coming on to me. And there were a couple instances where I couldn't escape, and I had to just put up with at least a certain degree of their abuse. And you know, I didn't tell them. As I went to the University of Toronto for college, I wasn't going to continue on at where I went to high school, with the college there. I had to have a free escape, so I went to the University of Toronto, and I did very poorly in school. Because, you know, in my head was all the stuff that had happened to me in the last, what, six years. And, you know, that's what that is. You can't escape it. You can't not think of it. You know, you can't forget it. You can't turn your back on it. It is front and center, the most important thing that has happened to you ever. And it'll stay that way for a long time, maybe even the rest of your life for some of us. But it will diminish if you can get into healing. Well, I was a far cry from healing when I went to NYU. And I flunked out of Toronto. And a couple of years later, as a slightly older student, I went back to college at New York University, where I finally studied something that had some meaning for me, and that was film and TV and journalism. And so I studied those and eventually ended up in California, where I am now still, to do my career. And so that's the majority of my story. And the way I got sober was, again, through an AA group. You know, I realized that I had a problem with alcohol, and I had found that there was this thing called AA, which I knew nothing about. But that it was good for alcoholism, and I showed up, and I ended up becoming a card-carrying member, kind of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I then realized that the same process that's used to put down the bottle could be used to put down the trauma. And so I began to apply the same process to, and that's, like I say, about 40 years ago.
Wow, thank you for sharing. But one thing I did want to say is that there's a lot of things that we have to look at when we're listening to each other's stories, and then we're able to pinpoint similar situations, similar wording, similar tactics that these people use, like bribing, grooming, you know, inviting you to nice, beautiful opportunities, you know, just some of those things. We can all say, okay, this person was so nice, I felt guilty telling, you know what I mean? But like you said, speaking to the priest, that was a safe place for you. You felt that you can share with somebody, and that helped you to release some of that pressure. Because keeping that inside, that's a lot of pressure. But you also talked about coping with alcohol.
You know, to even,
I feel like I didn't really
understand it.
No, go ahead.
To even understand the issues, because I had no experience with it, and I was completely lost. So, you know, here was a man who was trained, obviously. I was taught that priests in our lives were sort of the epitome of people we could go to and trust. So I went to one who was one of my teachers and a prefect who lived with us, and told him the story. And I told him because he asked, and I trusted him. And he even did it in confession, which is a big, serious thing. I don't know if you know about confession, but it's one of the sacraments.
Yes, I have. So, I went to a private school for 2 years, and I had a little taste of it. But I was able to, they told me I could tell him anything, and he wouldn't judge me.
That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Right. But it wasn't for me. And that was another thing that shocked me. You know, and that was another...
Like, what could you believe in?
Breaking of the trust.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what could you believe in? But coping with alcohol, dealing with your coping skills can be picking up alcoholism because, you know, it suppresses the pain, so you self-medicate.
Right. Exactly so.
And, you know, that's why... definitely, you know, that thing grew because it was helping, but hurting, right?
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, if nothing else, I think trauma from our childhood stunts our growth. It stunts our growth spiritually and mentally, for sure. And it also causes damage physically in many ways. So it's really something physical damage to our body in many ways. For example, there are illnesses that they can trace to, or they can say likely traceable to a person's childhood trauma that include things like stress-related stuff, headaches and migraines and, but heart attacks and high blood pressure and, all kinds of things that are related to that. And then they think fibromyalgia is one of them. So there's a lot of physical things, mental things. Your brain doesn't develop the way a normal child's brain develops. I only found this out, a few years back. But, your brain keeps developing till you're about 25. So if you are if you are abused before that and then you never get help for it, then by the time you're 25, what have you got? You've got a brain that's matured, but it's broken. It's matured in a broken manner. And, so fortunately, there are things we can do about it. Because it's kind of an electronic computer, if you want to think of it that way. You have to exercise it in certain ways, and you have to kind of be aware of the fact that your brain will lie to you, for example. Your brain will bring on tremendous fear, that's not reasonable, but you believe it. Your brain can bring on phobias and so forth. All kinds of things. And then spiritually, in my case, for example, I was extremely Catholic. I was so Catholic that I was considering being a priest, right? And and I gave it up in high school because there was no way I was going to continue on to the regular seminary, having had these experiences in the minor seminary where the high school was. But I also lost my faith in Catholicism, in God. In religion, because I said these people who have supposed, first of all, the original molester, and secondly, the multiple other molesters, and people that I was supposed to be able to trust, were not trustworthy, and so I lost that too. So, it had a lot of ramifications for me, and but fortunately, there's been many places to go and people to meet and things to do that.
You're definitely used. I mean, we're sorry that you went through that, but I'm just so proud of you that you were able to turn that around and use it for good to help others like you. And you know what's needed because you've been through it firsthand and you're doing it from the heart.
That's right. There's no, I've never charged a cent for any of the things that I've done, counseled people for years. And I've also sponsored people, which you're not supposed to get paid for anyway, but, sponsoring is in a 12-step program. You're a person who has quite a bit of experience and you're willing to help somebody who's new. You give them their phone number and you make arrangements for them to be in contact with you, maybe to meet you at a meeting at least once or twice a week, so forth. In this, it's different. It's made up differently, and an awful lot of people do have counseling that's paid for, or maybe the state pays for it, but others don't. And I've never gotten a license or anything, so I don't have any. Bona fide.
You have firsthand experience, right? You have firsthand encounter, and then through healing with other people, you learn how to heal because you're speaking to survivors consistently. That pours into you. That has to really pour into you. I know it does, because you always pouring into us and reminding us back. You have to be filled to be able to do that.
Well, that's right. You have to be on your journey. You know, I want to point out to people that are listening that we very rarely talk about being healed, finishing our healing. And that's because the effects of trauma go on and on. You may actually do very well for a certain period of time, or work your way up to doing very well. And then something might happen, or several things might happen, that turn your head, you know, and you go in the other direction for a while. So there's no, you can't claim that you're recovered, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You can claim that you're a lot better today than you ever were. That you can do.
Right.
But you don't, you want to avoid recovering, yes. But you want to avoid declaring that you're recovered, because God forbid, if you tell, you know, people that you're recovered and then, you know, and then you mess up, the alcoholic who goes around telling everybody how, you know, he knows everything about getting sober, and then next week you find him drunk.
It really
damages the people that he was bragging to.
Right.
Who
and
don't
we
know
have to
the
be
difference.
Careful. And we have to be careful, because I do claim those things, I speak them as though they are. So I'll say I am recovered. I am, you know, free. I'll say certain things, but maybe be careful who I say it around, because those people will judge us, right? Thinking that maybe we're saying it in that way. But I try to speak it, even though I know it's not an easy thing to get to. That's what I'm trying to work towards, and that's what I'm speaking.
Right.
I have to, because I'm in a battle in my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, this show was supposed to be a question and answer show by the presenter, who was a professional. But I do one of these shows every week, every month, too. I do them on the 5th, or either some months have a 5th Tuesday or a 5th Thursday. In any month that has one of those, and I step in and I handle that. So there will be one on the 30th, which is a few days from now, where I'm the host. So I'll be back on if people want to join us again. And I have a need. I don't know if you're interested in this, but I think the last time you were on with us was September of 2020. And that's the case. We'd like to invite you to come back.
Won't you do it?
We have a need for a guest on Monday. Let me see. Are you free Monday?
Let me look. I should be free on Monday. Let me quadruple check.
I'm looking.
Monday is the 29th.
Okay.
And what time? Oh, okay. I have you for 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Okay, let me put here my interview. So I'll block that time out. What do you want me to do that day?
I want you to be our special guest. Tell your story.
Okay, yeah, I'm putting it in my calendar.
Okay, and there might be some panelists there. Maybe Roberta will show back up. Who will, they'll get whatever they can get out of your story, and they might ask you questions, or they might make comments about the story you tell, something like that.
Oh, okay.
So on Monday.
Yeah, I would love to.
26. Wait a minute. You know what? It's Friday. That's tomorrow. Wow, that's pretty close.
Let me do it. Okay, so it's tomorrow. Let me look here. Well, first
yes,
I need to leave Monday that.
Is, well,
all right, so it's not Monday. It's the 19th, the 26th.
It's tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Okay, picking up massage bed. Okay, what time?
8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, and so forth. It's a live show.
So I'm in Georgia, so 8 p.m. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be there.
It goes for 90 minutes, and you just call in on the same number you just called in on tonight. Right?
Okay, perfect. I'll do that. Okay. I'll put it in here.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. And I don't need anything
from you
because I have it from the last time.
Yep.
I have your bio from the last time, and it includes my Costa Rican hummingbird sings. So most of what is important for you will be in the bio. Okay?
Right. I just wanted to save the number. Yep. So I'll be there tomorrow night.
The number for the call-in? 646.
Yeah, I have it, but you could say it. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What is it?
646-595-2118. And I'm saying that also for anybody who's a listener who wants to join us anytime. This is the phone number that's dedicated to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. And it can be used any evening, Monday through Friday, five nights a week, at 8 o'clock Eastern, so, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific, because it's a live show.
Mm.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's
Thank
great.
You.
I'm excited. I'd love to serve.
Too.
And I want to, and it's always great to hear to other to hear from other survivors. It's always good to speak to other survivors.
It sure is. It sure is. All right. What else would we like to talk about? Are you still with us, Roberta?
Oh, yes. I was just thinking about, I'm still learning to say I'm a survivor because I don't feel like I'm a survivor, 100% survivor, but, I feel it's just new to me, saying I'm a survivor, But I still feel like though that I guess it's the PTSD after it all, feeling like you're stalked and are going to be harassed or you're going to fall into the hands of a bondage trapper or get abused, feel trapped and be abused, and not no way out, And I don't know. I still have them fears I have to overcome, but I'm still getting used to saying I'm a survivor. It's hard, but I am.
Well, you're not supposed to.
But you're saying
it's not supposed to be easy. Yeah, exactly.
Like you got to sing that song. I'm a survivor. I'm gonna make it.
It's true. She's making fun of it, but it's true.
Yeah, it feels good.
And sing it out loud in your house like a crazy lady.
Yeah.
That's so empowering.
Sometimes I sit there and I pretend like I'm a martial arts expert. Hands off, kiss off, back off forever. Get out of my life.
Yep.
Don't bait my face.
Right.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So this idea of it's hard to say you're a survivor or whatever you said, it's hard to admit,
it is.
That's, you've actually been doing it for a year or more.
Yeah.
You actually
it's
do
hard,
do
yeah.
it. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's okay to acknowledge
it's hard.
That it's hard. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, I guess what's really hard, right? Go ahead.
No, it's hard in certain circles and not in others. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, another thing that's hard is looking at my body and the damages that was done to it, and the damages that was, I'm not gonna say that it was all because of the abuse, but I mean. I abused myself with alcohol and drugs, and that did a lot of damage too. But even whenever I was young, whenever the only outlet I had to get rid of my anger was to hurt myself, and because I had to suppress that anger, and because when I was being abused, I couldn't cry or I couldn't get that anger out. I couldn't go anywhere to get any relief, And so I would take that anger out on myself,
Yes.
And so now, it's I don't do that now, unless you would say that maybe because I smoke cigarettes still, maybe that's inflicting harm upon myself. But But that's only, you know, I know now that I can talk, and it is very freeing and relieved to know that you can talk, and that helps me to live and thrive now, and I'm really grateful.
You know, we're all grateful that you're in our life. You know, you've been a really important NASCA member for the last couple of years because you do keep showing up. And I'd say for the last year, you've been showing up and making a difference with other people. You actually come because you want to share, because you want to help others. And you are now asking questions where before you were holding on to your questions. You were holding on to the truth.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, these are the issues that I'm dealing with, I want help on them. You wouldn't say that, but you are now, and all of that's progress. Big time.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, it's just so funny. A lot of times I'll think, you know, I try to backtrack my steps a lot of times, and like I'm in places sometimes, I'm thinking, where am I? Who am I with? What's happening to me? You know, and and I do this, you know, quite a bit, and then I start thinking. I think, well, you know, when you first start out in life, at first friends, first foods, first sounds, first words, first steps, and you know, and all that, you know, and you think, well, you know, you know, I don't need to remember, you know, it's kind of like I had these other ears on before I had my other ears on, and it's like, well, my other ears were listening to something else before I had to listen and witness or be a part of this, you know, and so that's my sanity, you know, because I was somewhere before I had to be somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're describing things better than you used to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm really grateful, and it's just beyond miracles to think that I survived. I mean, like I said, you know, one day I'll wake up and I'll realize I'm a survivor, but right now I'm just saying it, you know. But, you know, it's just really great, you know, and I'm glad that other people, you know, have survived too and are surviving, and it's hard to reach out, or it's hard to get out, I mean, you know, sometimes, but there is a way out. That's one thing I always felt like I was trapped and no way out, but there is a way out. You just keep praying, and if it don't work for a long time, eventually it'll work, you know, because there will be a way out, or there is a way out, you know. And I do believe in the power of prayer, so.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, you're trying. So, I mean, that's the first step. That's the only thing you can do. That's the only thing you're in control of, is you making an effort and you trying. That's all you could do.
Yeah.
So you're doing, you're doing great, right?
But I feel like I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm a 5-year-old girl trapped in a 60-year-old body, you know. And that doesn't feel good sometimes, you know. But that's all right.
Yeah, I understand. I'm a big kid, so. Lord, I'm like, Lord, help me.
That's cute. Well, we are kind of like big kids. You know, we're people that have to grow up for the first time. And we might be in our 40s, you know, because we really didn't grow up. This is the challenge of being a stunted person. You know, our growth didn't occur. You know, it's up to us to put together, a program of recovery that helps us to not just, I mean, to heal, yes, but also repair, kind of, you know. Sometimes the repair is what comes first, not the healing. But it is possible to do it, I guess what I'm going to say.
Right. It is very possible.
But I just sometimes I think I get in this childlike state sometimes, and I'm saying, them big adults and grown-ups, what do they know, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and And a lot of times, I mean, really, love is learned at home. You know, it's like, school, work, and church, and everything else out there. It's just something that you are trained to do, or you go to do, or you're helping. You know, that really, you know, love truly is learned at home. And if you don't have love at home, then it's hard to have a life if you've never had love at home. And fortunately, yeah, I did have some love at the early beginnings of my life. There was a lot of love and nurturing, but it just got way out of hand and bad things happened, and that was out of my control. I just really believe that you have to set a firm foundation of love and start out on that, and hopefully you don't lose it, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, I think Carol is calling in. I'm pretty sure this is Carol. And I'd like to bring her on and get her to participate a little. So this is Carol Levine, the Vice President of NASCA, who is busy with her family, I believe, tonight. And I'm kind of substituting for her. But I'm glad she was able to make it back and she wants to speak. So, Carol Levine, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm home now. Yes, I am. And I ate too much, and I came home and laid on my belly for about 10 minutes and then crawled in.
Good for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Tell you what we're up to. There's about 18 minutes left. I'm glad you called in to check in because Niecy Hamilton did not show, but I had two people call in, two friends of ours, and one of them is Roberta from Oklahoma, of course, and the other is Nancy from Georgia, who has been on the show a bunch of times and is an NASCA member too. And I had the two of them here, so we just went ahead and did a sort of a general topic show. It ended up being a topic show that included me telling a piece of my story, a big part of it, actually, because Nancy asked, how did I come to terms with it? How did it happen originally? And how did NASCA, develop and so forth? So we've had a discussion like that. And we've all just been talking about just now how difficult it is to accept that we're kind of like broken people. We're not the person that we should have been had we not been abused, because, trauma does occur and our brains are different and so forth. But we're the person who we are, and there's a lot of hope for people out there who are in the same situation we are, and we want them to know that. So we acknowledge that, all three of us, and that's pretty much where we were when you called in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening for about 5 minutes. And, Roberta, hi, honey, how are you? How you doing?
Hi, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sweetie, and you too. This is the family. I didn't have a family either. We didn't have love and all this other stuff. I was listening to what you said, and it makes my heart ache a little bit. But it also teaches us something, too, that we don't want to grow up and, be like our parents were. And, we have to find a way in life. You have to get, help from someone. And I was lucky enough to get two counselors that were interested in me in the church that I was going to. And they worked with me. And it gave me a different perspective on life. Okay, it actually did. It actually strengthened me by the things that they said, and they gave me a battery of tests, and I found out, gee, I'm not stupid or anything else that I've been told, And sometimes people are not meant to be parents. It's just the way it is. Yeah. And they can do terrible damage to their children because they're bad parents. And a lot of times, a lot of times they come from homes that maybe they were abused and maybe not, But the point is they shouldn't be parents. But what we have to do is try to find our strengths. We do have strengths. and you know, the things that we need to strengthen ourselves on, you're, you know, have a therapist, have them help you with those things. And to know that you're a good person, and I know that you're a good person, Roberta. Okay, we may have made mistakes when we were younger. You and I have had conversations. But that doesn't mean anything. That's gone. Okay, those mistakes. But what we have to do now is to, you know, focus on what can we do today to make a better tomorrow. Okay? And actually, since the first time I've spoken to you, you've come a long way. I heard what Bill said, or maybe it was Tammy.
Yeah.
Someone said that you were doing, you know, better and so forth. And you are. You're doing so much better. The first time I spoke to you, you were so nervous and jerky. She was. And yeah, you were. And now today, you're composed. That's good. That's a plus. You know that, you know, that you want to move on, and it, there's issues, but you're certainly seeking help, and that's good, so that's a plus. And, you know, you have us right here at NASCA who care about you. You're not alone, okay? We're here.
Nope.
And we can say that for everyone else who's listening, okay? Yes. Today I'm in a better spot and a better place than I was, say, 10 years ago, and certainly from when I was a child. And I had to fight my way through everything, to get to where I am today. But you have that same gumption about you. I know that from the conversations that we've had. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, look backwards at our childhood. And it wasn't pleasant, no? And a lot of things happened to us that weren't right. But that doesn't make us bad people, okay? It makes them bad people. So we move on. We look at our strengths. We make small goals. You work with your therapist. And know that you're very much loved and cared for by this family. So, you know, you have
thank
that.
You.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you always have some place to turn to. That's it.
Well, the first time I heard about unconditional love, I thought, wow, how can that happen? How can it? You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're never going to turn you away here, okay?
Yeah.
So you don't lose NASCA unless you walk away from NASCA, okay?
Yeah.
So you, and you know, I've spoken to you sometimes at 2:00, sometimes at 4:00 in the morning, okay? And that's
yeah.
All right because I'm up anyway. And you know, so you have that to lean on. You have this family here that understand you. And you have a therapist,
yeah.
And you have a roof over your head. Start looking at the things you do have. Okay, sometimes
yeah.
We take that for granted, all right? And you have a roof over your head, you have food, you know, and you have a way to get out and go places, whether it's public transportation, it doesn't matter. The point is you have it. And,
yeah.
You know, and there's other groups that you've been a part of, and sometimes you go to church, sometimes you don't. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the point
yeah.
is that, you know, you're starting to get stronger, and I can tell it in your voice from when I first spoke to you. So that's a big plus.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is.
Thank you so much. I've been learning to you know, whenever I get these old messages coming up or where I've been verbally abused or demeaned or insulted or, you know, or bad, all the messages I heard for years and years and years, I just dismiss them now. I don't listen to them. It's like I just don't even pay attention to them. You know, I just say, I talk to myself. I say, let's turn the channel. Let's think about something else. Let's talk about, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, so, you know, it's like all those, it's like they're all being like, they're just, you know, it's like they're like fading out, fading, I guess that's the word you would say. It's like they're being filtered out or faded out, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not around those people doing that now. And now, you know, they're all just like going out of my, you know, whatever, you know. It's like I look at myself as someone that's loved and truly loved, and that's how I see myself now. And that means I can truly love myself, and that's helping me to love others and forgive others. And that's what's really taken place in the last probably year or two. Is
that's
that
exactly right?
Because I couldn't even know myself. I couldn't even recognize myself. I couldn't even think straight. I couldn't even think for myself. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's that's the first time in my life. I mean, I almost went crazy one time. So, you know, it's just you know, I don't have depression now. I do have grieving processes, you know, sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but I don't
mm-hmm.
have depression now, you know.
Do you, I wish you could, well, later on, if you can, you should listen back to what you just said, because you just said so many good things, so many pluses in your life, in your growth, and maybe you don't quite realize it, but, you know, you spoke about the things that bothered you in the past, they're fading away, they're fading out now, you're able to deal with them, that's what you're saying, deal with them effectively
yeah.
so that they're not... You know, they're not bothering you and keeping you from growing. Yeah. And
I'm not mad at the people that put, you know, because a lot of times whenever I get them things come up, I
mm-hmm.
pinpoint it to the person directly, the person that put it there, and I'd be angry at that person, but I don't do that anymore. I just started
Good.
Learning to pray for them, you know? And
Good.
That's what I started doing, forgiving and praying for them, yeah.
There comes a time in a survivor's life, okay, if they're going to survive, that you just get tired of hating. And I know that I had done that many years ago, because I'd walk around in circles. I'd make sure no one was in the house, and I've said this before. And I'd want to punch this one in the face. I'd want to do worse things to other people. I won't go into detail right now, but you've heard me say it before. And I just got so tired of hating. I got so tired of it. I couldn't go out and run anymore to get rid of all of that anxiety and that anger, because I had to change me. You see, if we don't change ourselves, and you're starting to do that absolutely 100%, because you just said so many positive things and that you're doing and that you've done. So what we have to do, we can't change other people. We already know that. And we can't change the past. We already know that. But what we can do is change ourselves and have little goals and meet those goals. And you know what? You're already doing it, because you've gotten rid of this problem. You've gotten rid of that problem. You have somehow filtered out, like you said, you know, the negativity that was holding you back. All right, so that means that you've moved forward. You're moving forward. That's great. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you all.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm glad all of y'all are surviving, and I'm glad I found y'all. I'm glad I found y'all.
Yeah, well, we were glad
we
you're
want
here,
you to
too.
Take a few minutes here, Roberta, because there's about 5 minutes left in the show, and we'd like to hear your voice, and maybe something from Nancy, too, having, you know, as a surprise, participated in this show. But, you know, Carol and I know a lot about recovery and so forth, but, you know, you don't. And I know Nancy is kind of in the middle. So why don't the two of you take the next 5 minutes and discuss it however you want. Nancy, you're going to be our guest tomorrow on the show.
Good.
Friday at 8 o'clock Eastern. Okay?
Okay.
So,
and I'll be hosting,
I've just
so
set
that's
it
good.
I've just set it all up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're all
good.
Set. All right, so good. Nancy and Roberta, want to finish off the show for us however you'd like?
Go ahead, Nancy.
You feel it was worth coming here tonight, both of you?
Yeah, I think it was definitely worth coming here tonight. We got to hear your story, you know, get more information and understand and relate to it. And also, you know, just really being able to talk about what NASCA is doing for people, how real people are being helped through this program through these services, through these groups, you know. And it's always a pleasure for me to share because it's therapeutic to me, it's healing to me. Thanksgiving this time of year is very sensitive for me. My sister committed suicide 2 days. I'm sorry. She passed away by way of suicide. My apologies.
Mm-hmm.
2 days after Thanksgiving last year, 2020. And so for us, it's just it's a process because I've been in that place where I saw myself doing it and I tried. And so, you know, to be here and to be able to still to be able to be used to help somebody else get through that season. This is a very scary and lonely season. It can be very scary, very lonely. And so you need love. You need to be surrounded by words of encouragement, empowerment, uplifting, love. So this group, it reminds us when we're falling, if we're feeling weak, we can come and share, or we can come and listen, or we can come and ask for some support from someone, and we can be heard. And we don't have to feel alone. You know, and most
That's
of the
right.
times it's going to be somebody who understands firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I want
I'm
people to know.
I'm proud to be a part of. I'm proud to be a part of everything you're doing. You all are doing.
We're proud to have you. And one of the things I want people to know is that they'll never be alone again a day at a time if they don't want to be. Because there's thousands and mm-hmm. thousands of us. And we fit so nicely in, you know, in our trauma, you know, with each other, that there's a lot of support here. There's a lot of understanding here. There's a lot of sharing back and forth. And, you know, there are people that drift away, but if they don't drift away, they stay, you know, kind of dedicated to their recovery. We're not going anywhere. So they'll never be alone again, ever, if they don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
How's that sound, Roberta?
Oh, yeah. All right. I also know that even through the, and I'm a survivor. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I also know that even though there was times in my life they were very dark or even near death or at the gates of death or just in places where I didn't even know where I was and who I was with many times and what was happening to my body. But, you know, I know that my maker, my creator was there with me, and that's what another thing that I hold on to is just knowing that I have a friend that knows all about me, all about my whole life, and still loves me too, and that's what's coming into my life now, that y'all bring to me just every time I come on here, and that we share together is just priceless. It's like you can't put a dollar amount to it or anything. It's just, I mean, you know, you don't have to come here an hour and a half and talk. And that's something that's free is you know, leaning on each other and helping one another and helping other people,
yeah.
You know. There's a lot. And just thinking of, you know, our experiences, there's other people that may need to have a helping hand to them one day somewhere out there. So, and I'm glad that someone there's
the
a helping hand for
of,
me. And, yeah.
The thing I was thinking of, Roberta, the word I was thinking of was precious, because that's what this is.
Yeah.
Precious.
Yeah.
And you have something
yeah.
else, but it doesn't go away. If you can give it away, you don't lose it. So it's spread.
Yeah.
And it's actually in the spreading that we do, you know, that we do the outreach and the work and help others, and that makes
mm-hmm.
us feel good too. Now,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow night, Nancy's going to be on the show. Carol's going to be the host. Anybody
mm-hmm.
who's listening here can call in at 646-595-2118 at 8 o'clock Eastern, so that's 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific. And you just call that number. And you'll be brought on the air by Carol, and you'll have a very nice time. I know Nancy has told her story with us before, and so she gets another opportunity to get to hear how she's doing. There's 10 seconds left, so with that, Carol, Nancy, and Roberta, let me thank all three of you for being with me tonight, and thank the audience, too. May God bless you and the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Thank and God you. Bless.
Thank you. Good night.
Blog Talk Radio.